Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
If you are new here, maybe this is your first Sunday, let me just give you a bit of explanation, because if I don't, you're going to go, what in the world is he talking about? A couple of Sundays ago, Lynn and I stood here, and I just let everybody know that I've been diagnosed with colorectal cancer. That diagnosis came about now 4.5 weeks ago. And it was certainly a shock to the system for us. And so today I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about that on a very personal level. I want to be transparent with everybody. And I want to run that through the grid of Christ and our faith. And that's really what this morning is all about. I had some conditions for this morning before I allowed myself to go in this way. The first condition was this, that whatever I would share this morning would not point to me, but point to Jesus. That's what this morning is all about. And so if you leave this place today thinking about me and not about Jesus, then I've not done a very good job. So I want you to be thinking about Jesus. I'm going to share my story with you, but really that's more the device to get us to think of Jesus and how we deal with things. I want you to also know that I'm going to be transparent with you today because I value authenticity. We talk about it here all of the time. And so it's important for me to demonstrate that today. Not for the sake of demonstration, but because I really believe in it. I believe that this is something that we should all be doing in appropriate settings, one with the other. And that's just to be real with one another. And so I'm going to do that, and I'll take some risks today in doing that. But in family, I feel very comfortable in sharing. I want you to know as well that I'm early on in this process. Believe me, I'm not standing here as an expert in cancer. That's not the case at all. This is a brand new journey for me, and it's a brand new journey for our family. But I have been in this place of having to figure out my faith with my illness, my cancer. And it's been fascinating so far, and I suspect it's going to get even more so. I don't plan on doing this, but you have to give me a little bit of permission today if I tear up just a bit. What I've found in these last few weeks is that my emotions really are just below the surface. And I just have to look at somebody or something, particularly if I'm with my family. They can be eating spaghetti, and all of a sudden, oh, bam, you know, he used to do that when he was a kid. You know, so it's all. I'm going to do my best not to do it, but it could happen. I believe that the Lord would have me share it this way today, and so that's why I am here doing it. But let me just give you a bit of background before I kind of get into what I want to talk about. I'd been having some discomfort for a while, just some intestinal stuff that was happening, and I kind of knew something wasn't right. So I went to my doctor, and he said, drink more fluids and see if that takes care of it. So I did. I started, drinking some more fluids, but it didn't take care of the problem. So ultimately, I made another appointment with my GP, and I said, here are my symptoms. Now, I don't know if you've ever gone to the mayoclinic.com and you put in the symptom checker. Have you ever done that? Sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes it's not so good. So I put in all of my symptoms, and probably 5 out of the 7 symptoms that I had, it all kept on coming up, colorectal cancer. And I kept on thinking, man, that's why they tell you don't trust the internet. Like, how do they know that, really? So I went to my doctor. I gave him my symptoms, and he was excellent. He referred me right away to a gastroenterologist. He said, here, please take these tests. If they come back positive, you'll go to the top of the list for a colonoscopy, and that's really important. So that's what we did. I knew something was wrong when about 3 or 4 days later, I got the appointment with the specialist. And they had booked a colonoscopy. My meeting with the specialist was on the Tuesday. The colonoscopy was on the Thursday. This all happened so quickly. So I thought, well, the colonoscopy is probably going to show something, you know. That's why they're doing it. And, you know, I wasn't really eager for it, but I was going to submit to the appointment. So in advance, I go to the gastroenterologist who's in New West, and so he talks to me. I think, well, we're just going to have a chat, and then he says, let's go in the other room. We'll do an examination. Oh. Didn't expect that. So he did an examination, and it was during that examination he found a tumor. And it was a large tumor, and he wasn't sure that even the scope could go by it. So it's probable that I've had it for quite some time. You can imagine that that was a pretty scary piece of information. Since that time, I've gone through. I've had a CT scan and an MRI, just to let you know where things are at this point. I'm being referred to the BC Cancer Agency, and I have a meeting coming up. Linda and I will both be there on September 11th, probably about a three-hour meeting, and they'll lay out the course of whatever has to happen between now and surgery, which is scheduled for September the 30th. So they'll probably recommend radiation, perhaps chemotherapy before surgery and afterwards, and that's sort of the way it looks. At this point, we don't know much about the cancer other than it is colorectal cancer. We don't know whether it is spread or not. That's what the MRI and the CT scan will tell us, and we'll find that out on September 11th. So that is the lay of the land, and that kind of brings you up to date. So the question is, what do you do with stuff like this? What do you do when you hear that news, as I did? I can tell you on that Tuesday morning, that was the last thing I was expecting. I didn't think I was going to have a physical exam, so I wasn't expecting the news. And so when I looked at his face, the doctor's face, I could see that there was a problem. And then when he said the words, "Wow, we have a real problem here," it was clear. Something wasn't right. And he said, really, this is 99.9% sure that it's cancer. So your world is suddenly rocked. All of a sudden, you're facing something that you weren't expecting. I wasn't expecting quite that. I was expecting maybe something a little different than that. But that's what he told me, and that's what it was. And I had to leave his office, and Linda was there with me, but she didn't know at that point, and we had to stand and fill out some forms for the wonderful colonoscopy that was to follow a couple days later. And I was standing there thinking, now what? Now what? Like, now what? What am I going to say to Linda? What am I going to say to my family? Like, all of those things come swirling around. And before we left the building, I remember I went to the washroom because I really needed to do that. And I just stood up against the door. I just kind of leaned up against it. And I just said, "Oh, God. Oh, God." And when I said, "Oh, God," I really was saying two things. The first thing was I was calling on Dad, my Heavenly Father. That's what it was. It was like, "Oh, God, Dad, what now? Like, I'm, what now to, what now?" And it's just this need to know His love. And so it was very much a heartfelt cry for that. And "Oh, God," for me, was also this place just to say, "Jesus, I need you now. I need you to show me the way forward from this place. I need you to walk with me. I need you to help me. I need you to heal me. Oh God," you know. So, but there's this whole question, like, what now? What now? And I put "what now" and "God" together. And I was reminded in that place, as only the Spirit of God can do, is that He was with me. I'm leaning against the door and I'm going, "I don't know what," and he was with me. Scripture says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And so after a diagnosis of cancer, God is there. He doesn't forsake us, and he is with us. And so from that moment on, I have just begun this process knowing that God is with me. He didn't leave me at the diagnosis. In fact, if anything, I felt His arms around me. I know His embrace. It's powerful stuff. And I'm thankful for that. You know, I haven't yet come to the question or asked this question, why me? I really haven't. I haven't gotten there. I thought that I might, but it hasn't happened. In fact, the question, the way I'm framing it now, is why not me? Ultimately, that's how it's come up in my own spirit, is why not me? Bad things happen. Hard things happen. Many of you in this room have experienced it or are experiencing it today. They just happen. And so there isn't this sense of why me or blaming God for this. It's just this place that we live in. And I have been so reminded of the brokenness of the world because I am carrying some of that brokenness right now, and it's called cancer. We live in a world that was broken. It was never meant to be that way. It was never meant to be that I would have cancer ultimately. But a single decision long ago to go man's own way rather than God's own way has resulted in this brokenness. And I carry that brokenness. We live in the world of that kind of brokenness. Thankful to say that we don't live in that world on our own. That we live in that world. We live in that world with Jesus. Romans 8, 20, 21. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. So the truth is, we live in the broken world. We are affected by being in a broken world. Hard and bad things happen because we live in that world. But we also live with a God who is faithful. And the answer at the end is awesome. And so in that, we should find celebration and we should find joy. Really, we should, as believers, even when we're facing hard things. Even when we're facing hard things. I know that many in this community have gone through hard places. I've walked with many of you through some of those hard places. And I know that our hearts break. And sometimes we ask the hard questions, and we should ask the hard questions. Like, why is this happening? How is this happening? And it's okay to ask those questions. Hard things happen because we live in a broken world. And if they don't happen to us, the chances of them happening to somebody else around us, it's all there. Marriages hit hard times. Children wander. People disappoint us. People leave us too soon. Again, it was never meant to be that way. But it was through man's choice. Way back. That has created this broken place that we're in. I cannot blame God, but only recognize that I live in a broken world, but also equally to recognize that I walk with Jesus, who is the Redeemer of the world. It's so important for us to see that. You know, sometimes God prepares us for things in advance. Well, sometimes, often he does. Do you know that very morning, that Tuesday morning, I was going through the scripture. We're going to be teaching from the Gospel of Mark coming in the fall. And the portion of the scripture that I was going through is when Jesus was in the garden and he was crying out to his Father. And it's up there on the screen. There it is right now. This is out of Luke 14, verses 35 to 36. He went on a little farther and he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done and not mine. That verse was so deeply embedded in my spirit as I went into the doctor's office that Tuesday morning that when I got that diagnosis, it was the grid I went to immediately. I felt like it was Jesus in the garden. And I thought, here we have this wonderful permission given for us as human beings to call out to our God and to ask him to take something away from us. And you can believe me, I've asked God to take this cancer from me. I have. And I have full permission to ask him for that. And I do. I ask God for healing. I anticipate. I want healing. Of course I do. But we see here, and this is powerful for me, that Jesus says in the end, yet I want your will to be done and not my own. And you know, that prayer for me supersedes my prayer for healing. I want the will of God to be done in my life, whatever it looks like. Whatever it looks like, I want the will of God to be done in my life. I've lived that life. I've wanted to live that life. I want to live a life that is submitted to God. And I desire for his will to be done in my life. I am praying for healing. And I absolutely believe that it is possible for Jesus to take this cancer from me. No question about that. But I find great peace in knowing that I am praying for the will of God to be done in my life. Because that is what ultimately brings him glory. That's what lifts his name high. It's his will done in my life. And if that's through healing, fantastic. But if it's not through healing, all glory to God. I'm saying this seriously with you. All glory to God. I'm prepared to walk the path that God has for me because that's exactly where he wants me to be. He wants us to be on the path that he's laid out, not the one that we would necessarily prescribe for ourselves. Let me just talk for a moment about healing, because I want to be clear about this. I absolutely believe in supernatural healing. I believe it. Scripture says that we can pray and we should pray for healing. Let's go to the next slide. James 5:14. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And we did exactly that just a couple of weeks ago. He forgives all my sins and he heals all of my diseases. God is a healing God. I have been with people who have been healed. I have prayed for their healing and I am excited for healing. And so I know that God heals. I know absolutely that God heals. There's so many things that I don't like about this place that I'm in. I don't want to have cancer. I don't want to have cancer. I don't want to have it. I don't like reading the stats that I've been reading, and I shouldn't, that tell me that my life is probably going to be shortened even just as a result of having colorectal cancer, even if it's taken care of. I don't like the fact that at this point I don't know where it's at. All I know is the tumor's large, but I don't know if it's spread. I don't know that yet. I don't know if it's gone anywhere else. I don't like that part. It's a little disconcerting, to be honest with you. I'll tell you what, I don't like the location of this cancer. They call it colorectal cancer, but let me be honest with you. I have rectal cancer. I would rather have cancer of the elbow. There are a lot of other places I'd rather have this cancer, but you know what? It is what it is. It is what it is. I don't like the fact that a colonoscopy is possible for me. I may end up having to carry a bag. We're hoping that's not the case, and indications are that they can fix things so that won't happen. But that's a possibility. I don't like that. I don't like that. See, I want God to take all of that away from me. I'm not looking forward to the process of radiation or chemo. I'm looking not forward to any of that stuff. Jesus, take it away from me. But God, if it's your will, I'm going to walk through it. Do you see what I'm saying? There is healing, and my prayer is for healing. And there is God's will. And when those two match, fantastic. I walk healed. But I have to be ready to submit myself to God's perfect will, whatever that may look like. Let's be honest. We've all prayed for people who have not been healed. And it's upsetting. It's disconcerting. God, I've called for a healing. I've prayed for healing, and yet that person's not been healed. Why is it? And we can get to all sorts of silly places trying to figure that out. Like somehow our faith wasn't big enough, or somehow their life wasn't good enough, or whatever. Those are all lies from the pit. Sometimes, you see, the will of God is something that we don't understand. There's a mystery to it. But in the end, it brings him glory. In the end, it brings him glory. God, bring healing, but more so, God, may your will be done in my life. I submit myself to him, my life, my health, my cancer, and its outcome. It's all in his hands, all of it. All of it's in his hands. I want to thank you for praying for me. I've heard from so many people who are praying. You just don't know how much that means. And I know I've been with other families who've walked through the same thing, and the prayer is fantastic. Keep on praying. I believe, you know, God hears our prayers, and I know that it's important that we pray. And so let's continue to pray and continue to believe. But pray with me, not just for healing, but for God's perfect will. That's my desire, for God's perfect will. On the screen there's a little bit about thankfulness. One of the things that has surprised me in all of this is how incredibly thankful I am. And that started really just that day. You know, Linda and I walked out of the doctor's office. We're walking up the street and she says, "So how did it go?" And I'm going, oh. I said, not well. So we sat in the park bench and we cried together and we met with our kids that night. It was tough. It was tough. But in the midst of all of that stuff, I can tell you this, that there is such thankfulness. I've had 58 years of great life. God's given me an awesome, awesome partner for my life. He's given me wonderful kids. He has given me more than I could ever anticipate or expect. My life has been full. It's been rich. He's given me this family. You know, I have so much to be thankful for. And there's not a day that goes by that I am not increasingly thankful for God. In the midst of this cancer, I am thankful. Cancer cannot take away my thankfulness. Hard times cannot take away your thankfulness. God is too good for that. He supersedes our cancer and he supersedes the ugliness sometimes of life and the difficulties. There is much to be thankful for. And I find that as I give this a sacrifice of praise, I think I'm understanding that even more now. My heart is just lifted. I'm very thankful to God. I'm very thankful to God. Let me just talk for a minute about fear. I want you to know that I am scared. And if what I'm saying and how I'm talking today appears to be bravado, please forgive me, because that I'm not feeling particularly brave. I'm waking up at night sometimes and I'm thinking about surgery and I'm thinking about bags and I'm thinking about hair loss and I'm, you know, the whole night. So I'm a little scared, to be honest with you. That's just part of it. I'm scared for my family. Scared for this family. I've got a few things that just kind of... So, like, what do you do with that fear? Like, what is it? Because fear can overtake us. Fear can overwhelm us. And I don't believe that has ever been God's plan or purpose for our lives, ever. So what do you do with it? Take a look at Psalm 55. This is what David said. "My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness." Oh, man, do I relate to that? See, that's the way it's been in my life. If I'm facing problems or hard things, it's so much better for me not to be there. I like not to be there. I'm not big on those kinds of things, but I can't change this. I can't change this. So I've taken a position that is got 3 points to it. Number one, I've decided I won't run because it's not going to help. My cancer is still going to be with me, so I can't run. I'm not going to submit to it, though. I won't submit to it. The only thing that I'm going to submit to is Jesus Christ. I'm not going to submit to the fear. The fear wants to control me, but I will not submit to the fear. I will not do it. I will not do it. In fact, what I will do is I will face it. I will face my fear and I will constantly press into the truth that God is with me. As he is with you. God is with us. And so I can move through this knowing that I have my Jesus. And his word is true. Psalm 62 says, "I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I will never be shaken." That's where I rest, is in that place. When it comes to trust, I want to also be very honest with you. I don't want you to look at me and go, "Well, there is such a faith-filled person. Oh, my goodness." I've got trust issues with God sometimes. Sometimes my choice is to do my own thing because I think somehow if I control it, it's going to be better. But I can tell you this, when you're sitting on cancer, quite literally, you can't take that away. That is a fact. And what's left for me is my trust. I can only trust God now because I can't trust me. I can't. I don't want to trust me. I need to trust God. And so this place of trust has just spoken so powerfully to my spirit. It's spoken strongly. I need to trust God. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. Am I afraid? Yes. Are there moments where I want to do my own thing? Yes. But in the end, where I must be is I must trust God. Even if I'm not understanding where I'm at, I'm not understanding some of the things that I'm going through, I trust God. I trust Him because my God has never stopped loving me. My God has never given up on me. My God has never stopped hearing me. My God's grace is sufficient and His mercy is new every day. I believe that. I believe that. I have every reason to trust Jesus when fear and doubt and worry rise up, as they surely will. I trust Him. I trust Him. I can trust Him for His best for me in everything. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. God takes that stuff and He turns it around. And I believe that that's what's going to happen here. He's going to take something that's not great and make it awesome. Let me just talk for a moment about testing. I've talked about that here before, but I want to just touch on it now. You know, our faith is often tested by the Lord. There are opportunities throughout our lives in which we are tested. James 1:3 says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." So there are tests that all of us go through. And so the question is, how am I going to respond? How do I respond to this? Do I duck and dive and run, which I've done before in my life? Or do I face this with faith and with trust? See, I know what the Lord desires in terms of an outcome here. His desire is that I stand in faith. He understands my fear. He understands my doubt. He understands all of those things. But His desire is for me to stand in faith. Because I've talked and I believe and I know what the Word says. And so I'm called to stand in that place. And it's only by the power of His Spirit that I'm able to do that. But it's a choice that I make. I'm going to stand firm in faith, understanding that this is a test. This is probably going to be one of the biggest tests of my faith. And I'm praying that I'll do well. That's my desire. Oswald Chambers said something I was just reading recently. It was kind of cool about faith tests. He says this: "Every time my theology becomes clear to my own mind, I encounter something that contradicts it. As soon as I say, I believe God shall supply all of my need, the testing of my faith begins." Then he asks this question: "When my strength runs dry and my vision is blinded, will I endure this trial of my faith victoriously, or will I turn back in defeat? Faith must be tested because it can only become your intimate possession through conflict." Then he asks, "The test will either prove your faith right or it will kill it. Believe steadfastly on Him, and everything that challenges you will strengthen your faith." So when we face this stuff, know that our faith is being tested. But also know that we are not going to be tested beyond what we can take, that God has given us that faith that we can use, that we can rely upon, that we can stand strongly as best we can. Now, let me just, when I say strongly, I don't think that after my surgery, I'm going to be standing quite like this. I suspect my body is going to be somewhat broken. And there's going to be parts of me that will... standing strong to me is not about bravado. It's not that at all. It's about believing. It's about believing. That's where our strength comes from. Every day is a new day. And you know how that goes. If you're faced with something that's life-threatening, man, does that day ever become important? I've got the September 11th date in front of me with the cancer agency. And so, like, Lynn and I were talking the other day, and I said, like, I want every day up to that point to be awesome. Like, I want to live it fully. Because I don't know if I'm going to be facing radiation or chemo afterwards, and that may just change how I feel about things. So I want to be big today. I want to live big today. I want to grasp today. But you know, I'm just reminded as I'm going through this, as we've heard before, I want to live every day like that. And that's really what the Bible calls us to that place of just knowing that every day is God's gift to us. Every breath that we take is God's gift to us. And so I am reminded powerfully today of the gift that God gives us of our lives. And that every day should be just lived fully. As fully as we can. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. I don't know what it's all going to look like. I don't know what the cancer guys are going to say when we meet with them on September the 11th. I don't know anything about that. But I do know that I have today. I do know that the sun is shining. I do know that I am surrounded with friends and a community that loves and cares. This is part of who we are. It's a good day. It's a good day. I like the Message paraphrase of Matthew 6:34. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So let's live today. Let's not worry about tomorrow, but let's just live for today. Okay, let me just finish with this. Talk a little bit about moving forward. I've not wondered so much about why me, but I have asked the Lord why now. I don't get this, to be honest. This is the thing that perplexes me the most. I just go, why now? See, I'd rather this happen when I'm 95. It would be so much better. But somehow it's happening now. I don't understand that. I look around and I see what God is doing amongst us. I see where God is growing his church, and Sunday we're moving to four services, and God is up to something, I believe, awesome in this house, and I'm going to miss some of that. I don't know how much I'm going to miss, but I'm going to miss some of it. And so I Lord, what is that about? Like, what's that about? Are you sure that this is right? Like, do you want to just put this on hold for a bit? Well, it looks like the surgery is on September 30th, and it looks at the very least like I'm going to be out for a number of weeks. He says 6 weeks recovery. So the best case scenario, maybe back beginning of November, you know, after surgery in September. I don't know. But it is the Lord's timing. And we get so good in our Christianese to say, well, the Lord's timing is perfect. So we can say that all we want, but, you know, it's hard when it doesn't jive with your own timing. And it doesn't with mine, to be honest, but it does with his. And as I said at the very beginning, my desire is to walk in the will of the Lord. And through all of that, what continually comes back to me is God has prepared this house. He's raised up great leaders. We have an awesome team. We do. I'm not just saying that. We do. I work with these men and women every day. They are awesome. God has placed them here. And God knew about this time, and I didn't, but he's placed them here. We're not big about titles, you know that. Don't want to be called pastor, but we have roles that we have and stuff like that. And so Luke and Ryan are our associates, and they will take on, when I'm not here, they will take on that leadership that I carry as lead. And they will do awesome. In fact, they're already doing it. Have been for the last 3 years. It's amazing. I sit back, drink coffee. It's awesome. And these guys are going, yeah. No, these guys are awesome leaders. Our team, amazing team here. So, years ago, I had this friend that talked to me about putting a fist in a bucket of water. And she said, you know, it's like this. She says, I was leaving another workplace. She says, it's like this. I thought they liked me. She says, it's like this. You know, you got your fist in the water, you pull it up, they don't even know the difference. It just all fills in. So I'm gonna use that in a positive way today. And I just know that God has got a plan. And it and me not being here will not thwart his plan. It will not. It will not. It cannot. And you need to believe it. This is not about me. Never has been about me. Never will be about me. It really isn't. Please, I underline that. We are not a pastor-centric church. We have a team. We work that way. And my absence is not going to create a blip. Water out. It's good. It's good. Next week, we begin talking about our vision and values. Luke is going to take the message next week, and then I'm going to be speaking the week after. I want you to start praying and be excited for what God is doing in his church and what he's going to do amongst us. I see it in my spirit. We're in for a powerful time. As we're obedient to God and as we walk in faith, God is doing a work here. And we're all a part of that work. And I want you to know that we've got amazing days ahead. If we're faithful, if we believe, if we show up, it's amazing. After we've spoken for a couple of weeks about our vision and values here, we're going to jump into the Gospel of Mark. Luke and I have been talking about this for months. It's going to be amazing. We're going to walk through the entire Gospel of Mark. Powerful stuff. And when the word of the Lord is lifted, things happen. This will be a changed community. We will be brought closer to Jesus because of the Gospel of Mark. So I'm looking forward to that. Good things ahead. There we go. Would you stand up, everybody? Father, thank you for life. Thank you for your goodness to us. You are awesome, Lord God. We give you thanks for your house. We give you thanks for your purpose and plan in our lives. We give you thanks, Lord, for your will, which is perfect for us and ultimately always is good. And so, God, I just pray for our house. I pray for strength for these weeks and months ahead. And, God, that our hearts would be open for all that it is that you would accomplish amongst us, oh God. May we truly be men and women of impact, Lord, of gospel kingdom impact. Jesus, let nothing come in the way, we pray. Nothing. Psalm 103. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's fly out of this place knowing we have the power of God with us. God bless you, everybody. We'll see you this coming week at one of our four services.